100 albums. One, Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
All right.
That's such a good intro. Tom is the man. He also got all the audio cuts for today.
Ah, all right. Very cool. So we're so where are you at now?
All right. So number 23, John Lennon. The album is called John Lennon, Plastic Ono Band by John Lennon. But this is Lennon's solo debut album. So it's a big album. I knew that going into it. It was released late 1970. And from what I read about it, there was a lot. And remember, I had no musical knowledge going into this journey. So I read that during this time, when this particular album came out, there was a lot going on in Lennon's life at this time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So with his wife, Yoko Ono, as well. And the time they started working on this album, the Beatles had only been broken up for 3 months. Mm-hmm. So that's a big breakup there. Then Lennon and Ono, they were in couples therapy. Well, not couples therapy, but taking therapy as a couple together. And the therapy that they underwent required deep thought into their childhood, as children back in their early life. So, and this is all, they're going through this as they're starting this album. So again, 3 months post Beatles, they'd been in therapy for 5 months, and then July 1970, Lennon loses his visa. He has to go back to England, back to London with Ono and Yoko Ono. So the therapy sessions end, and by September, Plastic Ono Band is in the studio, Abbey Studios in London, working on this album. So I thought that was important to say, because the music that came out of those studio sessions, that was all going on in Lennon's life at the time. But by late October, month later, Phil Spector's mixing it. So it was very quick. It gets released before the end of the year. And I was amazed by this these backstories, because, you know, behind the album, to me, when I look into these bands, it really makes the music so much more meaningful. So but from what I understand, a lot of music critics regard this album as John Lennon's best solo work.
Yeah, most people would say that.
Do you agree with that? I was wondering what you thought about.
Yeah, I mean, I like it very much. I'm not necessarily sure that it's my favorite Lennon solo record.
Yeah.
But
I haven't
again,
listened to any of his other solo ones. So
and again, I'm a Paul guy.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I prefer Paul McCartney.
Is the fan base split kind of between Paul? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and most people are John guys. Uh-huh. You know, most people like John the most. I'm a Paul guy. Dan Shugru, my old producer, George guy.
Same here.
Yeah, and you're a George guy too. But I'm a Paul guy. I like Paul. I like Paul's solo work more than John Lennon's. But this is a groundbreaking and important record, the one that you're talking about.
Yeah.
A really, really important record, and a very personal one too.
Yeah, I knew that going in. After I read about it before I even played the first track, which that brings us to the first track. It's called Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And this one just breaks my heart. It's about his parents. His mom and dad both left him, abandoned him. It's a terribly sad song, but I love the song. Tom's got a little bit of it, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I found it just gut-wrenching stuff, man. I mean, if you're just hearing this song come on the radio, which I doubt it gets much airplay on the radio.
No, it did.
It did it? Well,
yeah.
I don't know. If you didn't know the story, you might. But boy, when you read about his life, that's gut-wrenching stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is
it's messed up.
No, he did, but he was always John Lennon. Always took what was going on in his life and put it down to music.
Yeah,
you know, even when he was with the Beatles, especially the latter part of the time that he spent with the Beatles. Once he did his solo stuff, and he experimented a lot because of his relationship with Yoko.
Yeah, I'm learning that. How she had a huge influence on
she
him.
She did,
you know,
and
huge.
Some people were not happy about that.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of controversy.
But,
I mean, from what I gather, much of the planet. At least back then, who had access to a radio, thought pretty highly of John Lennon. But I mean, he was loved. But according to his therapist, I looked him up, Arthur Yanov, I believe is his name. Lennon was almost completely non-functional from emotional pain when this album came out. That's almost a quote.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, like you said, he had a lot going on in his life, but he turns it into music instead of, you know, crumbling, I guess.
Yeah.
But but I'll speed this up. We got to get through this. The next song, track two, is amazing. It's called Hold On. It's about himself and Yoko and just kind of a message to hold on. Things, you know, get rough in life. But it actually has an uplifting sound to it. There's one other track on the album, too, that it sounds uplifting. But he's speaking in third person. He addresses John in the song and Yoko as well. And it's a beautiful song. But we got to talk about something. If you've heard this song, what happens at a minute into the song when some dude whispers cookie? What is Tom? Do you have that cut?
Tell yourself just to hold on. Cookie.
What the heck is that?
That's John Lennon.
Is it
experimenting? You know, there was a very, I mean, especially during this time period and the time period, a lot of the, you know, the stuff that he did with Yoko, there was just a lot of weird stuff.
Okay.
Just
that,
a lot
that
of weird stuff.
That was trippy when I heard that because I was not expecting that. I didn't see anything about that on anything I had read. So that freaked me out a little bit, but, I had to play that. I had to have Tom find that cut. But, the next song, I Found Out is the name of the song. It's kind of like about an awakening for Lennon, I guess, where he believed, or the subject of the song, I think it's about him, but the subject of the song is a guy who believes that religion is kind of this underlying operating system or false idol that kind of runs the world.
That's something he was very vocal about, very, very vocal about, and wrote about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even like his most famous song, Imagine.
Is
about imagine there's no religion, you know, you know, all that stuff. He vocalized that quite a lot in his real life and in his music.
Right. And I hadn't heard I Found Out. I'd heard Imagined, obviously, but I hadn't heard this one. But yeah, it's similar. Then track four, Working Class Hero. I mean, even if I've heard this one.
That's one of my favorite Lennon songs
is
of
it?
All time. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I had heard that one before, and I did like it, too. Although, after reading into it, I kind of have a different understanding of it. But it's a highly political song. It just kind of shreds society's class structure, that song. So, but track five, Isolation. Absolutely love this song. It's, again, deeply touching to me when I heard it for the first time earlier today. It opens with a beautiful melody on the piano and some really pretty vocals by Lennon. But it's strong as well at times throughout the song. I mean, it's got a powerful sound to it as well at times during the song. But it's about himself and Yoko. And he gets, again, just so vulnerable in that track. And again, you're listening, or I was listening anyway, and I'm going, he was hugely famous yet so depressed. And that's always fascinating to me when you think someone has everything in the world and he was just so depressed still. But, you know, I mean, I've read about the drug use and that can end up a major contributor to these types of emotions,
no question
too.
About,
you know, the song's called Isolation.
Yeah.
So, but I love the song, had never heard it. Track seven, Love. It's a beautiful song, I thought. It's another one that's more upbeat as well. But it's a really nice song. Love track seven. Track eight, he goes off in track eight. Well. Track nine, Look at Me. Tom, you'll like this. I read that Lennon used a guitar picking style that he had learned from Scottish musician Donovan on that track. But
Donovan. Was a very influential dude to a lot of singer-songwriters in that time period.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to go in and listen to Donovan.
Yeah.
Was he big in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
What's the genre?
Folk. Kind of folky. His daughter, by the way, became a famous. His daughter became a famous actress. His daughter is Ione Skye, who was in Say Anything. That's Donovan's daughter.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'll have to check him out more. Track 10, God. Read about some controversy with this one. It's anti-religious.
Yep. to say the least.
Yeah. It theorizes that God is. I mean, this is my words. This is just. I mean, I read about it to kind of understand what critics thought it was about. But I wrote down in my notes that it kind of theorizes that God is this idea that was created by humans, at least in part. That's what I got from it. But,
well, that's exactly what he thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, and he's anti a lot of things in this song. He calls out Buddha, yoga, Elvis, Bob Dylan, who. He calls by his real name, Zimmerman, which I didn't know till Tom told me a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And the Beatles as well, which obviously he used to be a part of. So I think Tom's got a cut of this as well.
All right.
I don't believe in Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Just believe in me.
I love that song.
It's a great song.
I mean, yeah, it's depending on where you stand on that issue, but it's a beautiful song. But closing track, My Mummy's Dead, it's got a creepy feel to it to me. And when I read about it, this one I listened to before I read. And it looks like a lot of people have that same feeling about it, because it's like a song that would be on a, to me, I wrote down in my notes, kind of a song that you would hear on a horror film, I thought. Then again, I haven't watched very many horror films, so. But Tom's got a cut of it. Yeah, you can tell the sound is different. The way they did that was he sang into a mic, just him and his guitar, and then they recorded it, and then they played it out back through a speaker and recorded that sound.
Right.
So it gives a kind of a weird, creepy sound to it, and then also Lennon, the way he sings it, he's just sort of emotionless, kind of a flat kind of he doesn't use intonations very much. It's monotone. But wow, man, this album blew me away. I think this was probably one of the most enjoyable albums that I spent time with so far. So really love this album.
Yeah, it's a classic. It really is. And a lot of people consider it to be Lennon's best work as a solo artist.
Yeah, and I think he did three or four, three or four solo albums, not counting the ones with Yoko, because I know he and Yoko,
did a lot of records together. And most people say this, when you put on, the records that he did with Yoko, what you normally do is you'll hear the John song and then you lift the needle up to avoid the next song and then you put it down.
Oh.
To avoid the Yoko stuff.
Wow. I'm going to say it. I think Yoko Ono's great. Really? I think she's a fascinating artist, and she gets a bad rap because people blame her for the breakup of the Beatles, which I think is ludicrous.
It's completely ridiculous, but it has nothing to do with me not liking her music.
Fair enough.
Because I can't listen to her stuff. It drives me nuts. But I admire that she's an artist. She did not break up the Beatles. Anybody who says that is an idiot. But she just, that's not my cup, but that's not my scene.
For sure.
Now I have to listen to some of her stuff.
Oh, yeah, you
now.
Didn't.
Hold on. Experimental?
Listen, you have some? Vic, if you had difficulty with Captain Beefheart.
No way.
Yeah.
It cannot be more unaccessible than
Beefheart. She's playing music. She's burning her bra. Like, she's...
There's a lot of screaming.
Wow. Yeah.
There was a track on here. That's what I was talking about with Well, Well, Well.
Yeah.
Go listen to Well, Well, Well if you haven't listened to that by John Lennon. He is going off in that song.
Well, it's a little different when Yoko...
Because she comes from a world of performance art,
right?
Which is really a very strange place where people are doing things that don't necessarily make a whole lot of sense. It's incredibly abrasive at times, and usually very off-putting. That's why I enjoy Yoko, because I listen to a lot of music that does dare to go past the realm of good taste and go into a place that's less commercial.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't. Well, my preference is going to be towards John writing these beautiful melodies, doing that sort of thing. But I'm fascinated by her.
The thing is that I defend Yoko. Absolutely. And John Lennon loved her. Like, really, really loved her. It was a genuinely great relationship for the both of them. They may have gone through some troubles and some drug stuff. But he loved her very much.
That's why I wanted to correct myself. They weren't going through couples therapy. It was a sort of therapy. I think they called it primal therapy.
They did a lot of weird sort of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't go with her like musically. I can't do it, man.
I'm gonna go home and listen to.
Oh my god!
Swear today. But I do like though. A lot of these albums that I've been listening to are from the late '60s, early '70s album. Not all of them, but most of them. And back then, I don't know if they do it nowadays. Because I'm not really into the music scene now either. But a lot of them used artists that weren't musicians necessarily in the studio, and I like the way it kind of pulls the musician to a different place.
Okay, we got a break here, and then we'll come back. We got one more album to talk about for Vic's picks. All right, welcome back. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And we are in the middle of Vic's picks. We got one more album we want to get in here before the news at 4. What's the next one, Vic?
Number 22, the complete recordings by Robert Johnson. You guys can explain more about who Robert Johnson is than I can, but Jeannie was helping me with this one. He's part of the 27 Club. Does that mean anything to you? A group of musicians who died at the age of 27?
Yeah. It's unusual because a lot of musicians did die at the age of 27.
Oh, that's weird.
Like Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Cobain
was 27.
Yeah. Hendrix
was 27. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Robert Johnson, he was murdered at 27. Looking into him a little bit before I listened, there's not a lot that was documented about his life, but that kind of is why I think so many stories came out about him and the mysterious, aura that's around his, life. And
you did read about him, right? Did you read about mm-hmm. him, like the whole, he sold his soul to the
devil?
Yeah,
this is the guy who that story is about. Right, yeah.
The crossroads, baby.
The crossroads, yep. like dirt roads in Mississippi, I guess. And there's a documentary about it on Netflix called Remastered Devil at the Crossroads, which I'm going to watch this weekend. I'm not
also,
done listening.
There's also a really great movie with Ralph Macchio, and I know that sounds weird.
Oh, yes.
called Crossroads. Walter Hill directed it, and it takes that legend.
Is it good?
It's great.
It's very good.
Steve Vai, the great heavy metal guitarist from the 80s, plays the devil's guitarist in it. And it's a really terrific movie.
I'm going to watch both.
It's a lot of fun. It just takes that legend and plays with it.
I'm going to watch both those this weekend because I'm not done with Robert Johnson. This weekend, I'm going to get into his music quite a bit more. But this particular album, The Complete Recordings by Robert Johnson, number 22 on the top. And the list is actually top 500 greatest albums. So this is a very important album. As the story goes, he wasn't very good. The musician went away, came back, and he's like a master. This compilation album, so the songs were all recorded between 1936 and 1937. Wasn't released till 1990 as this compilation, but 20 songs on side A, 21 on B. It's about an hour and 45 minutes long, and Tom's got a little taste of the general sound. I wanted to kind of let the listener see kind of what it is.
I got a kind-hearted woman. Anything is worth for me. I got a kind-hearted woman. Anything is worth for me.
Yeah, kind-hearted woman. I mean, and that was 1936 when he recorded that. He was killed 2 years after that recording. But that's the first song on side A, Kind-Hearted Woman Blues. It's one of these great albums that, and you can hear it. It just kind of takes me back to that bygone era. And the Great Depression was still gripping the nation for another few years after he recorded that. And at the time of these recordings, also album cover art for this compilation is great. It's a photograph of him. He's holding his guitar on his lap, and he's wearing this great suit and a hat that just captures the time period. The hat's tilted, to his right side. Big smile on his face, but it's. I wanted to get a little cut of track 4 too, because I think this is a song that most people would recognize. Yeah. Tom. Blues standard. I knew that one. I'd heard that one
well,
before.
Well, this is one of the guys that invented the genre.
Yeah.
One of the preeminent blues man.
Yeah. A lot of musicians that I just reading about him and said, this guy is a big influence on me.
No question about
it. I don't think I would be out of line in saying probably one of, if not the most important American musician to have ever lived.
Yeah. Wow. There's no question about it. There's absolutely no question about it.
The first song I played bumping in was Traveling Riverside Blues by Led Zeppelin, and Led Zeppelin cribbed everything from Robert Johnson
in terms of other old blues guys. And they did get their money though. They did get some reparations.
Well, that's good. And when you played that bump, I knew it wasn't Robert Johnson, but it sounded like Robert Johnson, so that makes sense.
Zeppelin ripped off all the best.
Great artists steal, baby.
Yeah, they ripped off all the old blues guys. So, but yeah, Robert Johnson, one of the as Tom said, it's one of the most important one of the most important artists of all
Fun
time.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. All right. That's great, Vic, and you continue
Thank
to
you,
do
Dave.
This, and
Thank
we'll
you.
Do it again next week.